presented by the Citizens. On the streets. On the streets.
All right, episode 162 of the Brian's World Live podcast. I'm your host, Brian James, author and radio host here on the East Coast, out of Baltimore to be truly exact. Happy 4th of July weekend to you and yours. I know it's been a while since we spoke, since Father's Day weekend, I believe, which really, honestly, wasn't that long ago. But, you know, just been taking some time to get things organized. And, you know, with these episodes, I don't be trying to force them to come out. When it's time to come out, they come out. And the blessing is that you are there each and every time. So for that, I say thank you. Today's episode on E162, it's going to be all about couples therapy again. I know we talked about the first season of the, which I found out was actually on Showtime. The first season of the Showtime series, Couples Therapy, where it follows Dr. Orna Goldrinick as she sits down with married couples, couples who are engaged, couples who are just seeing each other, gay couples, straight couples, transgender. Like, she talks to them all, and she talks to them on camera. And those conversations can teach you a lot. You know, I was on a call last night, on a Zoom last night. I was just talking about how much I love this series because, you know, usually you gotta pay for this kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I guess obviously you have to have a subscription, but usually you have to pay for therapy, you know, or you have to pay to sit down and be able to speak with someone like Dr. Goldrinick or get some of her her acumen, some of her suggestions and things that she suggests to these couples to add to their life to, you know, bring them together. Most of the times you got to pay for that, you know. So to be able to see this in a series and to be able to catch up with it, two seasons worth, you know, it's a blessing. And today we're going to dive into season two because I did learn some different things on season two. And this is just four things I just wanted to share. So let's get into it. E162.
This is the place where your dreams come
true. It is Brian's World.
So listen. Coming at you.
All right, before anything, I gotta be honest with you, man. I didn't finish the season because I don't know if you remember me saying that you have to finish it by June 30th before you gotta get a Showtime subscription. And I'm not getting a Showtime subscription. No offense to Showtime, but I'm just not interested. There's nothing wrong with you guys. Just don't tickle my fancy, if you will. But I didn't make the deadline. However, I did get through majority of the season. So, you know, these lessons and things that I've learned are based on what I've seen so far. And one of the things that stuck out to me the most is what I call the art of the deal. That's what I wrote it down. That's how I wrote it down. The art of the deal. And it was a point in the season where I started to notice that it was a couple, Michael and Mikal. It was a Jewish couple, and you know, she's like super, super, super animated. Like, shorty just be yelling. Like, she go from 0 to 200 in a split second, and he's the exact opposite. You know, he actually was more or less criticized for going into a quote unquote lull state, you know, and she's more or less criticized for going into this hyperactive, like, just yelling state, if you will. And, you know, you can imagine the dynamics of that particular relationship. Now, I don't want to spoil everything. Well, I guess I can't because I ain't finished the season. But it was interesting to me because it was a period in the season where these two people from these two polar opposites of understanding, these two polar opposites of communication, if you will, these two people were able to make a deal. And they left it at the deal. It literally was like, okay, fine. Meet me halfway. Meet me in the middle. Here's the deal. And I feel like the deal was like he had to do a bunch of housework and start doing more stuff around the house, and she had to start doing less. Like, she had to take like hours to herself or something like that. And you know, they said, okay, bet, deal, let's see how it go. And they made the deal and they stuck to the deal. And as the season progressed, you can hear them talk about how thankful they were that they were able to find that compromise, because from that point on, things had gotten better. And it got me to start to wonder, What about if, you know, I know last time we looked at, when we looked at season one, we, you know, decided that right and wrong is kind of overrated. I agree with that. Now let's take it a step further in season two and say that beyond right and wrong, what's the harm in making a deal with your partner? What's the harm in saying, you know, baby, all right, bet, I'm gonna do this and you're gonna do this, and we're gonna hold each other accountable to it and just move on? Because see, what I think that was really cool about it is you can kind of see on Mikal's face, which is the wife, you can kind of see on her face just how elated she was to see her husband keep up his end of the deal. So much so that it kind of made her a little bit anxious about keeping up her end of the deal, where she was just supposed to chill. She was like, she ain't know what to do because she's not used to that, you know. But it was like a relief, a sense of relief. And it was even a sense of relief for Michael as well, because he's starting to do more things around the house that he hasn't really done before. So he's getting a whole new experience of the whole fatherhood and husbandry thing. And, you know, well, I ain't gonna tell you that part, because that would be a spoiler. But, you know, just keep your eyes on that couple if you do end up watching season two. You know, something happens with them. This is beautiful. Just great to see. Great to see happen. But, you know, essentially, I don't see any harm in cultivating a deal with your loved ones, more specifically with your partner. You know, I could see how some people could say that maybe it adds, you know, unnecessary pressure, or maybe it adds pressure in general to a situation, and it might. But I mean, pressure is nothing but responsibility, you know. And to me, it just adds more to the, and this is going to sound so childish, but adds more to the excitement factor of building a relationship. It just spices it up. It's just like, okay, ooh, Birdman rub hands, or Birdman hand rub. That's what it, I don't know what I said. Birdman hand rub, a deal. Let's make this interesting, you know? You know how it is when you make a deal with someone, like $5 say you can't make that shot. Of course you're going to shoot it. You got to. The goosebumps on your neck say that if you don't do it, I mean, you a sucker. You got to do it. Or, you know, like, I bet you won't, you know, go say what's up to that girl. And somebody challenging you, you know, you gotta do it. You gotta step up. And everybody doesn't speak that language. I do, you know, agree with that. But it is one of those things that was outside of the typical relationship norm of, here's what you gotta do, here's what you gotta do. It was different. It was different enough to it was so atypical that it was interesting. And it was so interesting that it led this couple to improve on their relationship, which led to other great things that happened along season two. But, you know, it just served as a reminder to me that I'm reminding you to, you know, look at the art of the deal when it comes to your relationship. Another thing is that it just cemented in me how easy it is for us to forget that we are people and not machines. More or less that, you know, sometimes we think that our partners are machines and not people. You know, we've got to be on the lookout. Like, this is some of the things that I was listening to as I was listening to these conversations. And I've listened to Orna speak to these conversations. We got to be on the lookout for those times where we don't allow our partner to be human. You know, there are things that our partners feel that we ain't necessarily going to ever cross that path of thinking, because we're different, because we're people, you know. Me and my friends, I mean, we're friends, and we may have things in common. We may like some of the same things, and we may even reason on some of the same things. But it would be foolish to think that everything is going to be the exact same. It would be foolish to think that the way that I think is going to be the way that they think. And not only would it be foolish, but it also would be very unfair to the ceiling of the relationship, the ceiling of the friendship. It makes the ceiling very low because I'm setting the bar. I'm not giving enough room for us to grow. I'm not giving enough room for them to be people, to accept their differences that they bring to the table. I'm not giving enough room for all of that. And, you know, with every couple that I saw, it was especially the there's a gay couple on there that I really enjoyed just watching, man. Like, I just learned a lot from them. And, you know, it's just interesting, you know, hearing both of them talk about just the different paths that they took in life to get to that exact moment where they were sitting there on that couch together. And, you know, it just kind of reminded me of, like, people really be different. Like, we really are different people, you know. And those moments in watching this particular couple, which I don't want to give away too much, but those moments in watching this particular couple where they didn't necessarily give the other one room to be themselves, not only was it tough to watch, but it was painful for each of them, and it brought them to tears. Like, it was just difficult. It brought them to tears that they couldn't necessarily adapt to what the other person was thinking, or their way of thinking, or couldn't understand the other person's way of thinking, if you will. And, you know, it's easy to forget because our worlds are really our worlds. You know, we are the stars, the centers of our universe. Of our own universes. You know, you got your own universe, I got mine, and, you know, you just move on. You know, everything feels like it's about us. But see, I think that's where love gets a little difficult. Because see, when you love somebody, when you're with somebody, it's just like Wale said, them two worlds become one, them two universes become one, you know. But it's not like, you know, you can merge universes and then you say, okay, yeah, you can move into mine, or I can move into your universe. Nah, you create a whole new one. And what I really saw in season two is how painful those moments can be. Those moments of, you know, neglecting to create a new universe with your loved one, and instead asking them, or forcing them, if you will, to move into your universe. Like, lovers are people too. Lovers are people too, you know. Those daily emotions, not even things that you experience, you know, outside of a relationship where maybe something happens at work or whatever. None of that. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about the legit, just direct thinking, dealing with your relationship, your particular relationship. Your partner could be thinking something completely different than you are about the relationship throughout the whole day. Could be replaying all types of different things that happened in their past when it comes to relationships, and kind of how it plays out into, you know, this particular relationship. Lovers are people too. Lovers feel, lovers hurt, lovers cry, you know. Lovers get angry. Lovers get sad. They get very, very depleted. You know, very self-conscious. Lovers are people too. And it was very interesting to see these couples, even back to Michael and Mikhail, sit back and be like, you know, wow, this is just your way of being a person. And then the other person be like, yeah, this is your way of being a person. And then the light bulb went off. It's like, wow, yeah, we're just two different people. But that's okay. Because it seems like once you decide, and once you figure out really that you're two different people, you're able to also decide whether or not you want to find common ground, whether or not you want to create a middle ground between the two of you. I'm trying to think, man. It was... Dang, I can't even remember his name, so I ain't even gonna get into that couple. But it was just interesting. It was, I'll just say, it was just very interesting and a very dope reminder of, you know, everybody being people. And that's what we bring to the table, you know, each time. Lovers are people too. And just remember that. Be gentle. All right, the next thing that I learned is what I wrote down. It says, love will find you. Love will find you. It is interesting, a little bit sad, a little bit difficult at times to comprehend and to watch, you know, some of these couples in their walls. It's like, we all do it. You know, we all do it, whether something in our past causes us to do it or something that we've seen somebody else go through. Maybe that causes us to do it, or, you know, some type of fantasy of, I mean, some evil, twisted, sick fantasy of heartbreak causes us to do it. But we all at some point have put up these walls around us, various protection mechanisms, basically to protect us from getting our heart broke. We've all done it. We all do it, I should say. But what's interesting to me is to hear, or what was interesting to me is to hear these various couples and their walls and the different things that led to them creating those walls, building those walls, to then hear how love tore those walls down. True love had tore those walls down. It's not meant to scare you when I say love will find you, but it is just a reminder that, you know, those defense mechanisms that we put up really ain't got nothing against true love. And I always find it funny when people be like, yeah, I ain't never gonna do blank, blank, blank. And I'm the guy who's like, because I also say everything's relative. Everybody hates when I say that. But I'm the guy who's like, yeah, okay, it's easy to say you'll never do something or you don't want to do something until it's time to do it. It's easy to be like, yeah, I'm done with love and relationships and shut off to the world and everything until you bump into somebody who literally knocks you on your ass. Sorry for the A word. Just like the first curse word ever. Not ever, but last couple of weeks. Until you find that pretty little missile that knocks you out the sky. As my good friend Neo said. I don't even know Neo. He's not my good friend. It was just a figure of speech. But love will find you, you know. And for me, that makes me happy because, you know, I feel bad for a lot of people who shut themselves off from the idea of a love and the idea of getting in a relationship and getting married and stuff like that. You know, I just feel like there is a part of life, an enjoyable part of life, that, you know, obviously has its tears. Most things do. But, you know, to be shut off from the possibility of building something that'll last forever with someone that means everything to you is, it's a little sad to me. You know, it just, not sad as in like I'm disappointed, but it hurts me a little bit, you know. So when I realized how often these couples talked about their walls and how often they tried to hide behind those walls, even in front of a licensed and very good therapist, and then to still see love, be like, I got you. I see you. You can't hide from me. Or to see love, you know, come in and be like, you know, you tripping. Let me introduce you to the better version of yourself so that you can learn to love yourself and then love the person sitting next to you. To see love with its wrecking ball tearing down those walls. It brings me joy because I do think that love is something that's for everyone. Now, in what capacity? I don't know. I don't think that love is one size fits all. I don't think that the way that I love is going to look the same the way that you love and so on and so forth. I think that, you know, most people or different people have different ways of loving each other. And that's okay. But it is something that I hope everybody experiences or tries to experience, you know? So it was just good to see that even when we give up on love, love doesn't give up on love. It's like those stories where, you know, that person has had their heart broken one too many times and they like, yeah, I don't want no more. I'm good to go. Until the day they put me in the box, Jack, I'm good. I don't want nothing to do with it. And then 2 years later, you getting an invite from them to come to their wedding. And they got that nice picture too. The nice one. They in that, like, the vineyard or something, or I don't know. What do people do? They on like a cruise ship or something like that. Like it's Titanic. Well, I hope not Titanic. That's not good, but you know what I'm trying to say. I don't want to be in a relationship no more. I don't da-da-da-da-da. And then love finds you. Brings you to your knees. And then brings out a better version of yourself that you didn't even know existed. I love love. I just enjoy it. I think it's dope. So to see these couples and the many ways that they've tried to fight these relationships, the many ways that they tried to fight their partner and force their partner out, block their partner out of their life, like push them away as some sort of defense mechanism. Like, to see all of that, and I mean, some of these stories, like, you just gonna have both eyebrows up to your hairline just to kind of hear what these people have been going through and what they do, and then to hear why they do it, to protect themselves. And then as the season rolls on, it's like, it's not that they don't want to protect themselves anymore. They just already feel protected the more that they fall in love with the person that they're sitting next to. And honestly, really, you know, they fall in love with their spouse, but they really fall in love with themselves as well. Because I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like once you understand those walls a little bit more, maybe you don't mind leaving the gate open sometimes. You know? Maybe you don't mind it. Maybe you don't mind it, you know, taking a couple of bricks off the top. Maybe it ain't gotta be so high. Once you really understand, you know, yourself, I guess. Or learning how to love yourself, I guess, you know. So it's interesting. It's just very interesting to see these couples continue to choose to do life together. Even after some of the things they put the other one through to try to push them away. It's like they still choose to be together. They still push through. And they do it for the other person. Love will find you, babe. Love will find you. The next thing is that the pandemic will find you. Because the pandemic brought out so many things in these couples, man. It's interesting. You know, that same call that I was talking about, one of the people on the phone had said kind of the same thing, just how, you know, the pandemic it's exposed a lot. It's forced a lot of people's hands, including Cupid. You know, it's put a lot of people around their spouses and their partners 10 times more than they were before. So, you know, you're seeing them in a whole different light. You're just seeing different things that, you know, you ain't never experienced with them before or from them before. So, you know, the pandemic, yeah, it's found everybody, you know, and it's gonna, I mean, it ain't over yet, you know, but it was interesting to hear these couples just talk about what had changed for them now that they are kind of forced to be around each other all the time, you know. Back to Michael and Mikal, just, you know, she had said that one of the things that just started to irk her was like not to spending so much time together now that, you know, everybody's working from home. It's like she really got to see that bro kind of don't be doing anything. Bro just be on the phone with his homies or watching TV, as she says, you know. And what had happened is that she started to resent him for that, like, for, you know, for seeing all of that. And then he started to resent her for yelling at him about it, you know. Or even with, I want to say it's Gianni. Yeah, Gianni and Matthew. Even they were talking about just how, you know, Gianni is from, I forgot exactly where he's from, but he's from another country. And, you know, he was just talking about how he can't see his folks, yo. He can't see his folks because of the pandemic. And, you know, obviously this was taped during the lockdown, and it's like, you know, he couldn't go anywhere, and it was driving him crazy. It was driving him crazy. And then to make it worse, you know, Matthew, his partner, kind of backed him into a corner about leaving the country because, you know, you run the risk of not being able to get back for a while. And in more ways than one, Matthew was like, you know, I guess in so many words, Matthew was like, you know, if you leave, that's it for us. And that just put Gianni in a weird place because he wanted to go see his family. And then on top of that, he was just out of work. And I think they both were experiencing a loss of employment. So, you know, and they talked in one episode, they talked about how straining that was on their relationship and just on their resolve in general, you know. And It's weird because, you know, it's a natural disaster. Neither one of them asked for that. Neither one of them asked for that. I really did want to go back and say that word right. But, you know, just being alive, just being together, you know, and all of that, that's what happened to a lot of people. The pandemic hit. And I think that what Orna was doing in those discussions was kind of like art to me, because it kind of felt like she was just kind of giving them air, because you've been cooped up for so long. Yeah, I ain't really got no air in the relationship. Everything is on 10. On both sides, you know, everybody. Sometimes you complain about things that really ain't that big a deal, you know. Or it just feels crazier because you see them every day, all day. Yeah, I ain't going nowhere. So, it does sound scary to say the pandemic will find you. But I promise you, I don't mean to invoke fear when I say that. It's more like a dose of reality. That even if it ain't COVID-19, at some point, or multiple points, I should say, no matter who you stand at the altar with and exchange vows and rings and all of that, no matter who you have a conversation with and say, you know, you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend, or vice versa, or whatever. At some point in your relationship, even if it turns into a marriage and it lasts for all eternity, it's going to experience a lot of things that are outside of the control of either of you. I know that. I mean, I don't have any ring on my finger, so you don't have to listen to me. It's fine. But I'm pretty sure that COVID-19 is not the last big natural disaster thing that's going to happen that's going to pull on your relationship. Even outside of the realms of, a quote unquote natural disaster. Just things are going to happen day to day. Not just to you and not just to your partner, but to you guys as a relationship. To you guys as a union, you know? And while the pandemic did expose a lot of couples and did make a lot of couples realize, you know, maybe this ain't for me, I do think that it also showed a lot of couples how strong the bond and the union really is. How strong the forgiveness and the joyous moments really are. How strong the love really is. How powerful it can be. So powerful that despite the many concerns and issues that we've been dealing with hinged on the spread of this deadly COVID-19, despite all of that, you're still here. You're still with your loved one. Despite it all. So when I say the pandemic will find you, and when I say that's something that I learned, what I really was saying is that I learned that true love really is like Teflon. True love can go through some mess and clean itself up. To hear some of these couples, man, and when you tap into season two, you'll know what I mean. To hear some of these couples and the things that they've gone through on the basis of the pandemic. Then they look at each other and just start crying and just hold each other. That's love, baby. Please, like, please, yes, please. I want that on the plate. On multiple plates. You know what I mean? You ever go to the buffet and you like, man, that look good, that look good, that look good. And then you pick up another plate and you got to put some of the dessert on that one and carry that one. Like, I want it all, baby. I want love like that. Because the wind is going to blow. The wind is going to blow. The storms are going to come. And from what I've seen and what I'm able to gather from the various tiers of marriages that float around me, what I'm able to gather is that only the strong survive. The key seems to not, I mean, it seems to be like, well, let me back up, because I know I'm trying to say, but I gotta say it. The key doesn't seem to fall in love with somebody who gives you that. It seems like the key is to fall in love with working on yourself to make sure that you're doing your part to create that, to cultivate that, to make that reality something that lasts forever. Even if a deadly pandemic takes over the earth, yes. All right, this last one, last thing that I really noted. I know I said four, but I miscounted, my bad. This last one is a little bit of a toughie. You know, it's a little bit of a toughie. And, you know, it's called homophobia is murder. That's what I wrote down. Because to hear what, I don't want to give it all away, but to hear what Matthew went through. And when you watch it, you'll see who Matthew is. To hear what he went through when he was facing the realizations of his sexuality. To hear that story literally hurt my heart. Like, I literally had, like, I don't know if you ever dealt with anxiety and stuff like that, but you know, sometimes it can kind of feel like your chest has a knot in it. And it's kind of in your throat too. So it's like you kind of just, that's when you gotta like kind of clear your throat a little bit when you get a little nervous. I had one of those. Like, it was just a lot of pressure on my chest when he was telling this story. And, you know, it was hinged on more or less just other people's disapproval of who he is. Now, I got a lot of religious friends and, you know, a lot of a heavy religious background that's probably listening to this like, wait, what? Slow down. But the fact of the matter to me is, you know, even what you don't understand is a person. And I don't ever think that it's fair to project anything on other people. In terms of, you know, just lifestyle choices and things like that, it ain't really none of your business. Especially if all you got to do is like, I mean, if all you have that you want to offer is condemnation and all types of just anger and angst and disrespectful rhetoric to these people who are living their lives like you and I. To hear what Matthew went through just really, really showed me a lot of things. Because, you know, that kind of pushed him to a problem that he developed. I don't want to say what it was, but it kind of pushed him to a problem that he developed that tried to kill him multiple times. And even though, you know, the hateful conversation against his sexuality happened at a young age, growing up, you don't forget those things. Like, growing up, those conversations don't just fade away. They embed themselves in your soul and play a pivotal role in you becoming, you know, whoever you are going to go on to be. That conversation affected him for so long, still affects him. So much that, like, it affects the relationship in some ways. It was a very tough thing to watch, a very tough thing to witness. But it really helped me realize how detrimental the homophobia conversation really is. How detrimental it really is to society to be homophobic. It's not fair. It's disgusting. It's borderline evil. It's definitely not loving. And I mean, I can't. I don't care how much of the Bible you read. There's never any reason for you to be hateful against somebody because of their sexual orientation. Never. Especially with all the sin that that we do. Like, come on. So it was very painful, man. And it's kind of like a trigger warning. If you do end up watching that season, just be prepared for that conversation. I know I ain't really tell you when it happens, but trust me, you'll be able to feel. You'll be able to feel as it gets started. But overall, you know, I just really enjoy this series, man. I just think that it's just something that is so powerful, something that could bring a lot of light to a lot of different people who need it, man, including me. You know, I learned so much from sitting there and just watching and taking notes and, you know, listening to the different suggestions here and there. Kind of like I said on the first episode about the first season, just, you know, how I kind of look at these different couples and these different people and kind of find myself so that I can find a lesson. Like, I really enjoyed that. You know, I think it's really dope. I definitely urge you to check it out whenever you're ready. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, it seemed like it was just something about that choice. It seemed like those couples made the choice to come in there together. And it was weird. It's weird because, you know, we would watch them like argue and yell at each other for a long time. And then they would choose to leave together. Sometimes telling jokes to each other and, you know, sometimes holding each other's hands. I just think that there is something in the mutual I love you. It's just something about it, you know. Not just, you know, if you got somebody that you love, man.
Yeah.
Excuse me. If you got somebody that you love, somebody that holds you down, man, choose them. And continue to choose them every single day, because it seems like you're going to be forced to make those decisions every single day. You're going to have to ask yourself that question every day, whether or not that person is for you. That's just what it seems like, you know. But if that's your person, then yeah, choose your people, you know.
Don't go nowhere, I'm coming to see you. And y'all don't want no problems.
It's Brian.